You are listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls deal with a blue pill world. I'm your host, John Dennison, and together we'll explore how to take an inner approach to your outer affairs so you can build a better life and a better world to live it in. Was the Fifth Dimension from 1969. And I know it's probably before the time of most of you, but that was back in my teenage years. As a matter of fact, that was the year of Woodstock. And a lot of other good things happening at the same time, but I played this because it is the subject that they're talking about. The Age of Aquarius. That is the topic we're talking about today, or at least behind the time of changes that we're going through. And for those of you who couldn't pick up the words, see if I can find them here as I'm talking, and not real good at doing two things at one time. Words were, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. And the next verse goes on. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding. No more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystical crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation, Aquarius. We're now living in the Age of Aquarius. That started right around the time of the turn of the millennia. And what does this mean? If you look around you at the world, we're way far from anything even remotely resembling of living with peace and love and understanding. Yet, they were holding out a vision of what this world could look like within this age. The Age of Aquarius, again, is the astrological age that we are moving into. But it is identified closely with what have been referred to in many religious circles as the Golden Age. And I call this the time of changes because in order to get to this period of peace and love and understanding, we have to have great upheaval to end the prior period where we have had war and hatred and mistrust and suspicion. And all the things that are used to drive wedges between people. But so far we haven't moved beyond those. If anything, we've gone deeper and deeper into them. And that's because of the situation that's been occurring in our universe. Our world has been under an increasing intensity and bombardment of light. This is because our Earth, as it moves in its rotation around the Milky Way, or within the Milky Way, on its revolutions in orbit, and the sun's orbit. The sun is moving into a photon belt of high intensity light energies that are projected to be approximately 1,000 years long. This is what the age of Aquarius is about. It's this period of increasing light that keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger in our world. The name of the group itself was the fifth dimension. And if any of you have been following any of the New Age teachings over the last 30 or 40 years, you understand they talk about a fifth dimensional awareness, that we are supposedly evolving into a fifth dimension existence from the fourth dimensional existence of Earth now, three being the three dimensions of space, and then the fourth dimension of time. Well, the fifth dimension is the event, is the dimension that brings peace and connection with each other. I don't pretend to understand the details of how it works, but I can see the effect of what's happening as we move into the photon belt. And if you look around you at the world, people are going nuts. They're actually at each other's throats, trying to force their wills on other people, trying to get their way and carve out the life that they want to live, but they're doing it in means where they're trying to impress and force that upon everyone else around them. And this is this phenomena that is behind the increasing tensions that we're seeing in our political and geopolitical worlds, where the old orders are no longer serving us, and people call out for change. But they really aren't quite sure what change it is, so politicians, all they have to do is offer us change in the hope of change. And they're able to manipulate us to give them power to continue to play their old games, but their games are being played according to the old rules of will and desire, trying to force what they want and impress that upon the world around them. The period that we're in now, this time of changes, is causing this light that's bombarding our world is causing the bonds that hold us together, that hold our bodies together, that hold us and hold our relationships and our social structures and the so-called natural order of things together within civilization, are vibrating with the increasing amounts of light. It's like if you go back to your old chemistry class in high school, if you increase the heat on a pot of water with a lid on it, the more heat comes in, the more the water gets excited and starts to boil. Well, what's happening in our world is we're starting to boil as the light is coming in and bombarding us. And it's straining the old, and if, as according to the, like the pot, if it boils too much, blow the lid right off the pot. Well, that's what we're in danger of right now, because these energies are straining the bonds that hold us together, that allow us to function within this three-dimensional environment. And they are in danger of breaking. They're stretching apart. And so that even when those energies subside a little bit, it's like a rubber band that's been stretched too far. They can't spring back or pull back into their old relationships. So those relationships no longer work or fit. That's why the institutions that have served our world for the last couple of 100 years don't seem to be working so well, because the set of rules under which they existed have changed. Our reality no longer functions the same way. And so the people's willingness and ability to adhere to the old ways is causing those institutions to be tested and need to either evolve or break altogether and new relationships form. So as we are moving into this photon belt, we will continue to have these energies bombarding us and stretching these relationships and making it harder and harder for us to coexist with each other. What this is doing, this light is causing us to let go of certain old aspects of ourselves. But what happens is that the ones that we're still clinging to, that are still within us, we're holding on to tighter and tighter than ever before. And so it makes it harder to change, because we're clinging so hard to what we were, or to how we knew to survive, that it's hard to let go and to ride the tide of this evolution that's occurring naturally in our world. It's natural in a universal sense, but it is not natural according to the people that live here, because it has not been in the nature of this system before to live in this method where their old rules and bounds of society no longer apply. And I would point to some of the political actions that are going on now. We see the political correctness and the activism trying to force certain changes upon society. And they are attacking the various social structures. They're taking advantage, some of these people are taking advantage of this situation to try to accelerate the destruction of these bonds, but they're doing it for their own ends. They're not doing it because of the natural evolution of their souls. They're doing it because it is a way to drive a wedge into the old power structures so that new power structures can arise that will benefit them or the interests that they want to promote. And this is not just happening on the left. It's happening on the right, in the middle, and everywhere else as well. I just wanted you to understand that this is part of the process that is playing out. But as this light flows, the doors of secrecy behind which the system previously operated are being thrown open. And we're given finally the ability to see inside those systems and decide what serves us and what doesn't. So what's happening with this light that's bombarding us and making us and testing our old standards and morals and abilities to live together is also causing us to have to, it's testing our ability to live together, but it's also bringing with it a responsibility to us to have to take responsibility for ourselves and what we allow ourselves to be and how we allow ourselves to interact with the world and create the lives that we're living. What has happened is that the rules no longer apply, or at least the rules are being eroded and will continue to be eroded to a point where they no longer apply. But what is going to happen with this is you're going to see this general anarchy and fighting with people going at each other's throats everywhere. And we're seeing this all around the world where peoples are fighting and the revolutions are taking place and governments are fighting in their geopolitical games for power. We're seeing it as North Korea is threatening to nuke the United States, and the United States is threatening to do a preemptive strike on North Korea. We see all these games that are playing and the geopolitical juxtapositions of China and Russia as everyone else is trying to play to assert themselves over parts of the world so that they can have their influence take sway, as opposed to the old order being the order that was established by the British Empire and then carried on by the United States, and they're trying to supplant that and put in their own form of neo-colonialism, for lack of a better term. So we see these conflicts erupting everywhere, but they're not just happening in our political and geopolitical arenas. They're happening in our lives too. You'll see a lot of people's lives turned upside down by illness or loss of jobs or relationship breakups because they can't withstand the energies. Many people are checking out and actually leaving the world because they can't deal with the increasing energies. Of course, this is not a conscious thing. This is because their bodies or their souls have not adapted to the new situation and the new environment and are trying to do a reset to give them the opportunity. They took what they needed from this life, and so they're moving on to come back at another time when the turmoil has subsided somewhat. And I'm not sure if it's going to subside for a while yet. But back to the fifth dimension. Peace and love and understanding. Those are key components of what is going to be necessary to live within this new time of changes. Yet, as we sink deeper and deeper into ourselves and cling to the things that our egos need to survive, and seeing things within the lens of our narrow lens of our own individuality, it makes it very hard to have peace and understanding, because it locks us into our own perspectives, and we find it more and more difficult to shift out and consider the views of others. And I think you would see that particularly in the political atmosphere right now, where you have the left has one perspective on the way things should be, and they push very hard to bring about the changes that they think will begin to create those circumstances. And the right has a totally different perspective, and they fight hard to maintain their own sense of right and wrong and the way things should be. And they don't see things eye to eye. In fact, it gets harder and harder for them to even consider the other views, because their vibrations have polarized them so much. They have personally been polarized toward their own inclinations to a point that it's hard for them to shift out and consider anything other than what is right within the narrow view of their blinders. Yet this world of self-interest and conflict and putting personal needs first and foremost above all is slowly, I should say rapidly, dissolving. Back in 2002 or 2003, I was speaking back in Colorado Springs on a book tour, and I had the honor of being invited to a presentation by a Kabbalistic rabbi who had been sent over from Israel to spread the secret messages that they had been interpreting and preserving for thousands of years. That all of a sudden their doors have been thrown over, and they've been sent out, and he was sent out as part of a vanguard to start preparing the world to recognize that the end of time is coming. According to them, there was a countdown clock that they were calculating at that point was approximately 250 years in the future. But because time was accelerating, they couldn't calculate it precisely. So it could be anywhere from 100 years to 300 years or whatever, but the time frame, the time is accelerating, but accelerating toward an end of time. Now, I'm not quite sure what to make of this, other than the fact that we as a species are nearing the end of time, that we're going to be able to live together without destroying each other, unless we do something to address our ability to live in these increasing intensities. Because if we don't evolve and become more than we are and learn to work within the higher pressures and the higher energies of what the fifth dimension caused the age of Aquarius, or what many of you would call the fifth dimension, this tension that is created as we are stretched from our old bounds and the rubber band wants to snap back will cause us to destroy each other. And again, if you look at it, it very much appears that we are nearing a precipice. Nuclear weapons have proliferated around the world, and conversations are such that nations are actually considering using them. Yet these are all games of power where the people are the pawns. Now, some want to fight against this by going up, going back and trying to impose political philosophies like Marxism and socialism and communism to impose the will of, take away from those who have and give it to those who don't. And I'm not questioning whether this should or should not be. What I'm saying is that this too is one of those old structures or systems that was tried to be created in response to the increasing amounts of egoism that modern society has been built upon. Let's say capitalism. because capitalism is primarily based upon the pursuit of benefit for oneself. Now, the problem with capitalism is that it has known no restraints. And society has had to come in and step in to try to restrain them through regulations and laws to keep those who would pursue their own interests even to the detriment of others or the detriment of the world. Again, this is part of the pressure behind the whole global warming, climate change philosophy was that mankind has done harm to our environment, and this harm is now threatening to wreak other havoc upon our earth. But you must understand that every one of these issues that are brought up to touch upon this, play upon these nerves, are not being done altruistically. They're not being done just take climate change. It's not being done just to clean up our atmosphere or to stop what they call the introduction of greenhouse gases or other pollutants into the world. It's a geopolitical game of power where the people again are being manipulated into taking sides and participating in that battle, because on one side you have one group is going to benefit financially or power-wise from those regulations and rules, and you have another group which is going would benefit if they're not would benefit in a different way if there are no such standards. And again, the problem isn't going to be solved by imposing one group's will upon another. Those are the old energies. Those are the old ways of will and desire that have to be changed if we're going to live within this fifth dimensional world. What has to happen is we individually have to evolve to adjust ourselves to make ourselves more suitable to being within this environment. And that starts with taking responsibility for ourselves and taking responsibility for the impact that we have upon others and upon the world around us. This sense of responsibility is one that the left wants to impose by regulation. This is where I have a disagreement with them, because I don't believe that the imposition of anything is going to move us closer to this fifth dimensional awareness that's going to be necessary to move into the golden age. The only way we're going to get there is if each of us evolve and that we consciously choose to make the choices that will take us toward that golden age. And that means seeing ourselves as part of a greater whole. Not to be manipulated by some group that wants to use us to vote them into power and to give them the ability to loot and rape and steal from us again under the guise of doing good. But because this is where we belong, is in this state where we realize that, where we as egos realize that we are part of a greater whole. And as part of a greater whole, we have to find and fulfill our part within that puzzle. And sometimes it may mean seeing ourselves and seeing our own individual needs and what we have to put first and take care of our own survival. But other times it means balancing those interests with the interests of others and the interests of society. Now, in the old energies, that would be done by a moderation or a self-censoring, so to speak, of one's own baser instincts. But in the new world that I'm talking about, we're talking about a shift in how you see yourself. That you no longer see yourself simply as a single organism, but you see yourself as a functioning part of the whole with the responsibility to add your contribution. Just like the cells of your liver know that they got to go in and they've got to filter your blood, you will know that you have a contribution to make to the world as well. Now, if you tuned in last week, you will have noticed that our last episode was about the inner voice. The reason I started with the inner voice is because this is the method by which we are going to navigate in this new world. It is not a matter of us trying to decide and say, this is what... This is a matter of our evolution into more of who we are. Because again, the inner voice comes from the presence within, or as I called it before, the Tao, where we are all connected, to which we are all connected, of which we are all a part, where there is no linear reality, as there is in this physical three-dimensional world, but there is a non-physical reality, which works in conjunction with us in this world, integrating both inner and outer to moderate and to guide our efforts to adjust to these new energies. The reason that we have to work toward bringing our inner voice into our lives and connecting to these inner sources of these and these places within ourselves where we know ourselves to be more than we are now is because it's going to be our only way to survive. If we try to do this in the old ways of ego, we will be destroyed because we will fight each other until there's no one left standing. And that will ruin this great experiment in which we all came to participate, this experiment of reality, to experience life in this universe. Now, life has the possibility of living harmoniously together. This is what Taoism was about. It was that it was finding the harmony of nature and learning to live and work harmoniously between your true nature and the nature of others as they go about creating their affairs or conducting their affairs. And the inner voice will begin to moderate your actions, your ego's actions, because your ego will choose to change. It will choose to loosen the hold upon the things that it, the beliefs and perspectives that it once had, to allow the inner voice to guide it. And the more that we merge into this higher consciousness, so to speak, the more that peace and love and understanding will take hold in our world. But getting there is not just a matter of us evolving ourselves. Because some of us, perhaps even you, have roles to play in that process of the evolution of our world, the evolution of the collective consciousness that creates this reality. And it is this role that your inner voice will lead you to, if you have such a role to play in bringing about this age of Aquarius. The consciousness that is necessary to work and live within this new environment is something that you will have to cultivate for yourself, because that is your ego's role or your ego's part in assuming the responsibility to adjust to this changing environment and adjust to it by expanding its consciousness, its ability to see and work with the energies within your own life. But some of those energies are coming from within. They're coming from your soul, speaking to your ego, telling you, whispering to you, that you have a part to play, giving you a contribution to make, inspiration, creativity, gifts that you can apply, or perhaps the collective sum total of your experience that you've had so far that is now being guided to be used in another way or in another direction. And as you begin to hear this inner voice, and if it is calling you to take some action to address this, understand what you are doing is you are adding a piece to the collective consciousness that is going to allow others that have not yet awakened to begin to evolve, to begin to loosen the holds of their own beliefs and perspectives so that they can consider something different. If you are awakening at this point to hear this message, then you have already taking great steps along that path toward your own awakening, toward your own contribution. It doesn't mean you're there. Certainly you have farther to go. We all have farther to go. We're all disciples on the path of awakening. Yet those of us that are farther along, that can see a little farther. It's like being up on a mountainside. We can see a little farther down than when we were in the valley below. But those of us, those of you who can see a little farther, will begin to see that you have a role, and it fits into the puzzle and helps to shape what that world can become. This is why it's so important for you to awaken to your inner voice and answer when it is calling you to do something. Whether that doing something is simply to change how you see and live your life, or how you treat the people that are in it, it's still calling you. It wants you to bring forth the inner aspects of yourself that you have hidden, that you have kept locked away because they have not functioned well within this selfish world of ours. But now it's time to bring them out and dust them off and put them to use, to bring forth the best that you are, the best of your ethics and your morality and your vision for the future, and how to get there harmoniously without imposing your will upon anyone else, even while doing your best to keep them from imposing theirs upon you. These are the challenges that we each are going to face as we're moving deeper and deeper into this time of changes. And the changes have to start within us. You're seeing the effect of these changes in the world, but ultimately, they have to be made within us. If we don't change, our world doesn't change. But even our changes alone may not be enough, because we must make the contributions that the inner voice calls us to make. Or otherwise, the world may not evolve, or may evolve more slowly. And if it evolves more slowly and before we pass out of the photon belt, maybe it never evolves at all. So there is a sense of urgency as we move to this end of time, through these end times, to see what we can be and what we can become. Your gifts are important. I don't know what they are, but I do know that if they are coming to you from this inner source, then there's a reason you're getting them. It is far beyond my view to understand it, other than to know that if you don't add your piece to this most great mosaic, it will never be added, and it will not be as rich or as beautiful a puzzle as it could be. Now, one of the problems that awakening servers have as they begin hearing their inner voice is that it gets distorted by the different filters and judgments and expectations we have within us. These egoic distortions cause us to twist these urges for something better and drag them back into the old ways and use the old energies to force will upon will. And this is part of what's happening in our political situation right now, is people are having the urges for change, and they feel this need to do something different. But they're turning around and superimposing their own views and the views that they've been manipulated into giving others power with, that continues to perpetuate the old ways. Therefore, it's essential that if you go to act on your inner voice or even hear your inner voice, you must go through the process of cultivating your own energy fields so that you remove the influence of ego as much as possible. And that when it does act, it acts consciously so that it can take account for its own biases and its own inclinations toward the old ways. And maybe step back a little bit so that it can make room for the new. The new in you, not the new in society. Where you see and do things a little differently than you did yesterday, and maybe a little differently tomorrow than you do today. It is this process of evolution that we must go through. We must each go through this path of making ourselves more tomorrow than we are today. And the only way to do that is to address the things within us that keep us from allowing this light to flow through us and act in our world. The awakening server has one responsibility: to allow the light that is flowing into their consciousness and through them out into the world, to allow it to get into the world in as unfiltered a fashion as possible. So it's not distorted. So we're not carrying the seeds of today's problems into the future we're trying to create. Because if we're carrying those problems forward, we're never going to. So if we're carrying the causal factors within us that allow us to create these problems today, if we're carrying those with us into the future, we're going to keep getting more of the same. The only way things are going to change is if we change ourselves. Now, we are changing slowly, but we have to change faster because it's a race between our evolution and our destruction. And we don't know which is going to come first. This is why it's so important for you to add your piece of the puzzle, because our world is at such a precipice that it is in danger of going, we are all in danger of going over the edge and turning on each other and seeing one massive chaos as the world breaks into civil war. So here's what I'd like you to do. When you turn on the news tonight, I want you to pay attention not to what they're saying, but to what your response is to what's going on here. What you hear. What you hear on the news, whether you're a Trump supporter or you're a Trump hater or something in between, or maybe from outside the country and you're focusing upon the migration issue in Europe or elsewhere, I want you to pay attention to your own inner responses. Not just what those responses are, but I want you to go deeper and try to figure out, why are you responding in this way? Pay attention to the vibrations inside of you. Try to see where those originate. Uncover the beliefs that you have, that those things that you're hearing are bumping up against, and what the people on TV are trying to amplify within you so that they can get you to see and act on from their side of things. The solution to our world's problems is not going to be one side winning and the other losing. It's going to be all of us waking up and realizing that what we've been fighting for is the same thing. We're just going about it in different ways, and if we would just let go of the ways we see it and the ways we're trying to approach it, we just might find that we end up at the same place together. This is not an issue about left and right. Left and right have to be integrated as we go into this new world. Otherwise, they will continue to be at odds and continue to fight for power and continue to keep us in these old energies. But we are moving into the new energies, the photon belt, the light that is bombarding our world. This is why this is the time of changes, and it is calling all of us to change our ways, to change who we are and what we know ourselves to be. And perhaps even more importantly, to change our relationship to this source of life within us that connects us to this eternal world, and not get caught up in the blinders of the linear reality that we experience our lives in. You may have something to add, and if you do, I highly encourage you to take every step necessary to bring it forth into your life. This does not mean it won't come without pain or disruption, but you're already suffering the pain and disruption of a world that is crumbling around you, and maybe your own life that has crumbled already, just as mine did. I don't want to go back and rehash my days in the hospital or the steps leading up to it. But those of you that know the story know that I came very close to death and stayed there for a long time. But this isn't about death. Death is easy. Death is inevitable for all of us within this three-dimensional linear reality. This is about life. This is about bringing more life into your life and bringing more light into your life so that you can live it with. to shine a light upon the path for yourself and to shine a light upon the path for others so that maybe they can start moving away from these ways of will and desire into a more harmonious existence. Not because it's enforced from the top, but because it comes from within and bubbles up from the ground to affect us all. This is the only way it's going to work. This is the only way we're going to get there. We can't fight our way out of this one, but we can love our way out of it. But the love starts with you within, for the source of life within you that is whispering to you from the silence. To know yourself as that source more and more in every moment and invite it into your consciousness and to work through you in your life. If you have problems doing this, I hope you'll visit us at peaceoptions.com where I've laid out all the steps necessary for you to make these changes in yourself. And if you have problems with your mission, come to us at missionlaunch.com because that's where we provide the help to those who are trying to act on their inner voice and life just keeps getting in the way. So we'll try to help you get on track so you can make your contribution because we know how important that is. But whatever you do, now that you're awakening, you can't go back to sleep. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. You are already changing. The question now is, what are you going to do with the changes that are happening to you? What are you going to do to adjust these changes and put them within the context of the life you're living and the society you're living it in? This is the challenge of consciousness for the awakening server, to use your consciousness to manage and to bring forth the best that you are in all aspects of your being, both inner and outer. And use it to build the kind of world we need to live it in. But that world is not made by you forcing that image upon everybody else, but upon you sharing the light and adding the contribution that you have that will enable them to see things a little differently and change in their own time, in their own way. You are an instrument of change. You are an instrument of God's will. Only you can do your part for a better tomorrow. I trust that you will. I'm John Dennison. Thank you for joining me today. Please come back again and visit sometime soon. Go with love.
You have been listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls move in a better way through a blue pill world. For more information, visit us at peaceoptions.com. to explore how you can find your peace through knowing yourself and following your inner voice. Or at missionlaunch.com, where we offer coaching and consulting to help you make the difference in your world.